Consequence Podcast Network. Bora hey, Iconic Army.
Bora hey.
So we are, of course, going to talk about Jin's concert. But First, I have to talk about the movie K-Pop Demon Hunters. If you haven't heard about it, I've been so obsessed with it ever since it came out. It's on Netflix and it's amazing. Like, truthfully, I want everyone to watch it. Like, maybe you don't think that like an animated movie is your thing, but I think that this movie is such a great representation of K-pop, of Korean culture. And it's also just such a great storyline, has great characters, like great messaging overall, great development. And the music is amazing.
Yeah.
There's like 10 original songs total for this movie. And like, they're all really phenomenal. I've been dying over the soundtrack. I've been like listening to the soundtrack and like belting it in my car because it is like that type of music that's like super inspiring and just like powerful. So anyways, I want everyone to watch it if you haven't already.
I'm sure there's a lot of listeners who have watched it, yeah, or at least people have recommended it to them, because you've recommended it to me. My sister Brittany's recommended it to me. And then when I was in St. Louis this weekend, Anthony, he didn't recommend it to me. He's like, I keep hearing about it and people keep telling me that I need to watch it. So I just started like a little bit of it, but It was late at night. And I thought, if I get any more into this, I'm just going to end up being up really late watching it. But yes, I've heard amazing things.
Yeah. I mean, it's so good. And I think like even people who like don't know anything about K-pop or aren't into K-pop would like it. Like, I watched it with Jeremy and he knows a little bit just from me, but like he loved it too. Mm-hmm. It's basically like, so it's called K-pop Demon Hunters. It's based on this group, this trio of girls named Huntrix, and they are like not like reincarnated, but every single generation, like there's three women that are music performers that basically protect the world from demons. And the music that they sing, the songs that they sing, make this barrier between the human world and the demon world called the Hanmoon. And so when they perform music together, it like protects the Hanmoon and strengthens the Hanmoon.
Yeah.
And the demons, like the main, like the king demon, has been trying to like break the Hanmoon for like millennia, basically. And this like next try that he's doing is by sending up a group of demons that are going to be a boy group. Mm-hmm. And they're like, they instantly become their competition.
Yeah.
And so it makes for a really good story. The songs, both from Huntrix and the boy group, his name, the Sajo Boys, are really catchy. And like, as somebody who's such a fan of BTS, like I see so many members of BTS within the Sajo Boys. Like, the creators have said, like, you know, there's like Jimin and Yoongi have inspired like a member, and mm-hmm, you know, like there's definitely inspiration here and there from other groups too. Twice actually made an original song for the movie called Takedown. It's Jonghyun, Gio, and Chaeyoung are in it. Mm-hmm. And so there's just like so much work that's gone into it. And like, as a K-pop fan, all these like special K-pop moments and like things come up. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like the fandom, like being part of the K-pop fandom, is like really celebrated while making such a great movie. So cannot recommend it enough. I'm probably going to go home and like rewatch it again tonight, because I'm just obsessed. Bethany, I'm going to like keep hounding you about it until you finish it.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I know you are.
I've already started. Yeah. I just did not have the best timing of like going and watching it.
Yeah.
I just have to set time aside to watch it.
Yeah.
But yeah, not only have I heard that it's a representation of K-pop and you see a lot of parallels there, but also K-dramas. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the things I notice is like when she bumps into the guy, it like replays it 4 or 5 different times at different angles to like some real dramatic music. And it's fantastic. You can see the Korean culture in it, the K-drama, K-pop.
Yeah, your sister Britt and I texted a little bit about it, and that's what she loved about it, was that it was like, it felt like it was highlighting K-dramas too, like those mm-hmm meet cute moments and like that will they, won't they, you know, type of thing. It was, I mean, yeah. And on top of that, yeah, Korean culture is super highlighted. There is like a bunch of like real places in Korea that you can see in the movie, like for example, the Seoul Tower, or like really famous parks, really famous stadiums and venues. Cool. And you know, there's also, there's this, this cat and this bird combo that's like a mythical combo in Korea. Like you can go back thousands of years and see drawings of this combo, and that's like a main, you know, element of the movie too. So, and you see like Hanbok, and it's just like a great representation all around. So awesome.
Yeah, looks like the characters have a lot of development too, like great character building. Yeah,
anyways, go watch it.
Yes, definitely. I am gonna watch it, so I can't say like, yeah, go watch it because I haven't seen it yet, but I fully believe you that it's a good recommendation.
It is. It is. My top three songs are Your Idol, Free, and What It Sounds Like. Those are probably like the last three songs in the movie. But they're so good. Like those are the ones that I have on absolute repeat. The intro song I really like too. I know you've seen that one because you've seen that far into the movie.
Yeah.
When that started, I was like, oh my God, what a fun way to start the movie. Right. Like, anyways, go watch it. I'll stop talking about it now. I just had to because I've been like obsessed with it ever since it came out.
Yeah, but you're not alone. I think everyone who's watched it has nothing but praise for it.
Yeah. Okay, but we do need to talk about Jin's concert.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lots to talk about.
So much to talk about. Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right, today we're going to hang out for about an hour, and we are talking about Run Seok Jin episode tour. This is his concert that he did, so we are not going to be seeing him in person for his concert, unfortunately, when he comes to his US leg of his tour. So we ended up watching the online stream. So we're going to be talking about night two.
Yeah. You know, because we're day two girlies.
We are day two.
So, you know, before we get into it, we do want to say thanks, Iconics, for being here and for all of your support. If you want to support us further, have access to our docs, our Iconic Hangouts, our sound checks, consider joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Thank you for being here, for all of your support, and of course, for listening. So we want to preface this on how we ended up setting ourselves up to be able to watch this because it was Korean time, and it's been a moment since we've watched like a live stream concert. I mean, I feel like Map of the Soul or like
one was Map of the Soul one was probably the last one.
Yeah.
Or like a Bang Bang Con Bang replay Bang Con, or something.
Yeah. Where, you know, it's 7 p.m. in Korea and it's 5 a.m. here. Mm-hmm. So we had to just figure out what we were going to do to make this happen. So we actually originally planned to watch it at Kayla's apartment here in Kansas City, but we both ended up being in St. Louis. So we decided to watch it at my parents' house. But what ended up happening is, Kayla, you were out with some of Jeremy's friends and I was out with my friends and we're like, oh yeah, like we'll just meet up at my parents' house. And you're like, hey, I'm gonna be out late, how about I just like come over there, can I just stay the night there?
It's, right,
it's like, absolutely, like I'll be up, whatever. So you didn't get to my house until like 11 o'clock at night.
No, I mean, girl, it was like 12:40.
Was it?
Yeah, because I remember leaving, we were like, it was like a girls night birthday party, and I think I was leaving at like 12:25 or something. I know it was like a 20-minute drive, but I remember saying bye to them. Like at that time, I was like, oh, I got to get going.
I texted you and I was like, yeah, because we were in my parents' like hot tub. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take a quick shower or whatever. So yeah, I was like showering at like midnight.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it was late, at least to say. But leading up to this, there were some really bad storms that had come through St. Louis, which is just like the story of St. Louis right now is all these terrible storms. And something happened to like half of my parents' streets, like Wi-Fi, like the line with Spectrum got damaged somehow, and like only half of the street got affected by it. My dad went out and bought a new router. Corey was up really late with him trying to like fix it, try to see it. They were like chatting with someone from Spectrum online and they could not get the Wi-Fi up. And I was like, I hate being like, I sounded like such a brat, like I need Wi-Fi for we to have stream to my concert. Like ridiculous. And which, by the way, since Kayla is moving out of her apartment too, like if we were to watch it in Kansas City, Kayla sold her couch. So yeah, we were like in Kansas City planning on being on the floor with like pillows
at
and
the
stuff.
Very best air mattress.
An air mattress, you know? Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And here we are. Now we're in St. Louis. My parents don't have Wi-Fi. And my sister, thankfully, my sister who lives in St. Louis, Bridget, she's like, hey, like, I'm 10 minutes away. Like, if you guys want to come over, I know it's early in the morning. She's like, you're welcome to come over. You know my garage code. I'm like, thank you, thank you, thank you. Mm-hmm. But then it was like, can we Chromecast it? Can we, how are we going to like.
And we wouldn't know until we got there.
Yeah.
You know, like what type of TV she has, if the TV has like AirPlay or Chromecast capabilities. Yeah. So we were like planning all these contingency plans.
So I'm like, Bridget, do you have a laptop? And she's like, yeah, but it's really old. It runs really slow. And we ended up using my dad's like old work laptop. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I'm like, please pack the charger for it because I just want to make sure we have that just in case.
Yeah. And we needed like an HDMI cable too.
And we needed an HDMI cable, which I had to steal from like one of their old DVD players. It was just so
all over the place.
It was all over
also,
the place.
Also, like, I mean, I know that I got over there at like 12:40, but like we sat downstairs like trying to make a plan for the morning for like 10-15 minutes. And then when we started to try to go to bed, then Millie was up.
Yeah.
And she was up for like an hour.
Oh, she
and
was so bad.
She was crying so much.
Yeah.
So like you definitely weren't sleeping. I wasn't sleeping. Then your dad was like clanging around in the kitchen. Like, I mean, it sounded like, I told Jeremy, it's not like he was making like a full course meal. Like, and I remember you telling him like, hey, like I'm trying to sleep and it's 2 a.m. And he was like, oh, it's 2 a.m. already.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
totally oblivious to how late it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, so we ended up you went to bed maybe just slightly earlier than me.
Yeah.
But all in all, it was like 2:30 in the morning, mm-hmm, before we really sleep. Mm-hmm. And our alarms were set for 4:20 a.m. Literally 4:20 a.m. So we
so
got
bad.
Maybe 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
And before we know it, we are... I almost went shoeless in your car.
Because I forgot about that. I could not find your socks.
I couldn't find my socks. I'm like, I don't care. Like, I don't care. And you're like, no, go find your socks.
I was like, are they downstairs? Like, come on.
But we dragging both had our feet out the door.
Like, we both considered just sleeping in our contacts so we didn't have to take them out. We both did take them out, but then like they burned so bad when we put them in the morning.
Stinging.
Oh, I was like, and I also had like been drinking the night before. I know you guys drank a little bit too, but like when I first got out of my bed, I was like, whoa, like, you know, thankfully I wasn't like still drunk or anything.
Ubers.
But I was like, yeah.
I was looking up. I was like, if for some reason we're like too tired or one of us is feeling like, you know, just can't drive right now. Like the Uber was like $30. I'm like, whatever, like I'll pay for it.
That didn't need to happen.
No.
We were both totally sober by then.
Yeah.
And, you know, like it wasn't like we were going crazy the night before.
No, we weren't. But yeah, just,
oh,
I was thinking about the sleep deprivation, honestly. So yeah, we end up getting over to my sister's and the laptop like couldn't reach very far. We were able to plug it in with the HDMI, but it was like kind of a whole fiasco just getting that connected.
Yeah, then, because I was so sleep deprived that I unplugged a cord from our HDMI too. Mm-hmm. And instead of plugging in your HDMI cord from your dad into her computer, I plugged in that cord.
Yeah.
So like they were just like not plugged into the TV going to the right place.
Yeah.
And we're like, what the fuck? It wasn't a TV, like it was a smart TV, but not one that was like new enough to be able to AirPlay, or like she didn't have a Chromecast.
Right.
Where like laptop's the only option here.
Yeah.
I think we got the laptop set up like literally like 3 minutes before the concert started.
Yeah, right before the concert started. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then in the midst of all of this, we get the concert up. We're like, okay, yes. And then my dad's computer is just so old. And I can tell that he's probably had this iCloud sign-in pop-up that consistently pops up. And he just, like, exits out of it because he doesn't want to, like, figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire concert, this iCloud sign-in kept popping up every couple minutes. So, like, the entire concert, I had to click out of it so that we could see Jen on the screen.
Right.
But because the HDMI cord was only so long, we couldn't sit on the couch. We ended up having to be on the floor with
Anyways.
Pillows. to watch this.
There's still on the floor. It was just meant to be. You did get really good at like clicking out of it with your toe though. So you didn't have to like sit up all the way and move. That was like pretty much a pro move. I thought that was so funny too. It wasn't even like a pop-up where you could just like click and it could stay in the background and have the window up. It would just, it would like obnoxious. Force itself to come forward.
Yes, yeah, it was so stupid. Yeah. Anyways, worth all of it. Like my mom told us, like before we ended up going, she said, I will say you guys are committed. Mm-hmm. Like you are dedicated.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We did this for Jen. We made it happen against all odds.
When I was like leaving Jeremy's on Saturday, you know, like he's with his parents right now before we move in together and his mom, I was telling her like, okay, I won't be back until sometime on Sunday because I'm going to this party. And then I'm watching this concert at 5 a.m. And she was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you guys are doing that. And I'm like, honestly, it's like nothing new. You know, it's been a while, but like, I feel like we're used to it, but it has, I mean, the years, I felt the years since we've done it. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm older now. I'm definitely older now.
Definitely older. Yeah. Man. And Millie has been sleeping through the night. But she just decided that she was going to wake up at 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. I was like, you gotta be kidding
me. And just be up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was.
Well, it was tougher, too, because you were in the same room with her. So you couldn't, like, Ferber her.
Yeah.
When
you
told me that she was just, like, standing up in the crib staring at you two and crying, like, that's just so funny to me. Yeah. Well, I mean, not in the moment, like, but.
She sees me right there. So, it just totally out of her routine, you know. Right. Babies need their routine.
So. All this to say, we went through, like, a comedy of errors so much to watch this concert, but immediately upon starting it we're like, oh, this is worth it. Worth it. Absolutely. Like, you know, of course it was. It was just great, like right when it began.
We're just gonna go through the set list and talk about what songs he sang, what the performances look like, and just our experience watching.
So if you're saving any of this until you go see him in tour, then maybe save this episode for later.
A little later.
Come back to it. So he started with Running Wild, I'll Be There, With the Clouds, and Falling. And we really loved like these four songs as like the intro, particularly like the first three of them were so good. I mean, Running Wild being like a hit track from Happy, such a good song. I think like it's a crowd favorite for sure. And I think it's a great like way to start off the concert and to like raise up the energy. I do have to say we both thought it was funny. We kind of cracked up a little bit how he just like popped up on stage and started it. You know, like there was no like, there was no like VCR, like no introduction, nothing. He just appeared and started like running down the stage. Pretty funny entrance, like nonchalant, very nonchalant of him. But going into I'll Be There after that was like, you know, it was so great because he's here with us in concert and you know, he's doing something that, you know, when we first had this tour announced, very unexpected that he would do this. And then With the Clouds in particular being so early on, I loved this as like a message to his members of like, look at where we are now, look at where we're going, you know, because we really talked about that song when we did the Echo album review of that song feeling like it was from him to his members. And so for him to put that super early in the set list, like up there in importance, we thought that was really awesome.
I also feel like we've talked about how it's very much a BTS ARMY song too, in terms of how it sounds just like true BTS music, like it's like a microcosmos similar kind of song. And so it just set the stage for the concert and made me feel a little bit of my BTS ARMY feels.
Definitely.
And got me in the spirit to be a part of this concert with him.
Totally.
And then he did Falling, which was fantastic.
Beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful. And then he ended up singing Don't Say You Love Me, which was gorgeous. But right at the end of the song, my laptop died and it gave like zero notice. It was like 10 minutes low battery, 10 minutes or something like that.
10% battery left, and then literally instantly died two seconds later.
Like no time. I popped up real quick, grabbed the charger, and on my way to go plug it in, it just died. So we missed maybe just a little bit there. But once we got it back up and running, then we ended up seeing him play this telepathy game. And this is where Army got to choose Jin's outfit to wear. And so he ended up having like three different outfits that Army could choose from. And it was like 0, 1, or 2. And the Army's on night two decided with the second outfit.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm hearing you want two, you want two, which ended up being hanbok, like formal hanbok. And he's like, okay, okay. So he goes to change. And, you know, normally when they go backstage to change, there's like a VCR or there's something to entertain the audience in the meantime. He just had a countdown. Like, it was just like a 60-second countdown clock that was ticking.
Yeah.
And we just got to wait for him until the clock was done that he reappeared.
This, like, genuinely made us laugh when we were watching because it was just so different, so off the wall. And, and I could just imagine, like, when he's putting this concert together, working with everybody, like, brainstorming set list and, you know, outfit changes, how are we going to do this and that, you know? He's like, just put a countdown, you know? Like,
that'll entertain him.
Right. J-Hope had it easy where he could like have dancers on the stage or whatever. Yoongi had VCRs. Jin's like, countdown. That's fine.
Yeah.
But it was just, I think it was comical. That's not, he didn't do that the whole concert either, but it was just funny.
But it is kind of game show-esque to have a countdown.
I think so too. He also, I think he mentioned with the hanbok, like, man, that I don't know if I can get into this outfit in 60 seconds. Like, you sure you want me to do this one? You know?
But it was, course, a bit of a challenge for him too.
Of course he did it though. It was so cute.
Yeah. And then he came out in hanbok for Super Tuna.
Yes.
And what I just really remember about Super Tuna was him running across the stage, like kind of arms back behind him, like strict upright torso, but like legs moving comically. Like he was just doing a little goofy run.
You know how
run.
Like when you're playing Animal Crossing, how your character runs?
Yeah.
That was exactly how he was running.
That is exactly it. Yeah. That's the perfect description for it.
He'd have to like sometimes hold the hat a little bit so the hat doesn't like blow off. And it was very cute.
Maybe that's why he was rigid, was he was just trying to keep that hat on top of his head.
He did say after he performed Super Tuna, he was like, this outfit is a little bit hard to run in, but he was dedicated. I mean, he was all over the stage in that. And I mean, also belting, like it was so impressive how much he was running and singing, like, and singing so well.
Yeah.
So anyways,
he ran a lot.
He did run a lot. Like, he was running wild.
He was running wild. And yeah, Run Soak Jin. I mean, the variety show.
Yeah.
If there's two things that I can say with confidence about this, or like to summarize this concert, was one, he ran like the whole time and sang beautiful vocals.
Yeah.
And two, his vocals. Like, I mean, his vocals were top notch. I felt like right out from the gate when he first started, it was just blowing my mind how great his live vocals are. Like, he really can sing.
Yeah.
Like, we know this. And, you know, we talk about him belting and really delivering his lines whenever it's his part in a BTS song. But hearing just solo tracks live, it was like, I would compare it to Sydney, the Awake performance in Sydney. Like, that level of just fantastic vocals from him. It's just something about hearing his voice live. It's like better than the actual track.
Totally. I mean, we know that Jin is a super confident person, like especially about his looks, and he knows that he's funny and whatever. But I think him, like the way he talks about himself as his role in BTS, he's often said like, I'm not that special, like you guys do so much more, like whatever. But at, like, even within the first few songs, like by the time we got to Super Tuna, the songs even before that, I was like, I never want to hear this man ever like downplay his skill ever again, because like him literally running around the stage and like having amazing unwavering vocals, like the breath control is just phenomenal, the vocals beautiful, like you said, literally sounds like the studio. You know, I mean, it was so impressive. He's so fit, he's so talented. I was like, he's incredible. Like, I was like so in awe.
He did not look like he was getting out of breath or anything either.
Oh my God, no.
Like, he made it look easy.
And he barely took breaks too. Like, I mean, obviously he had like tiny breaks when he did outfit changes, but he only did a couple, and those were like for 1 minute long.
Very short.
And when he was doing each song, like he never seemed like he got winded. There was one song, It was towards the end, so I don't remember which one it was specifically, but I remember he was jumping a lot. Mm-hmm. He was like jumping up and down and putting his arms out. Maybe it was like the astronaut.
Yeah.
And he was literally just jumping and then went right into like belting the next line.
Yeah.
Like not out of breath at all. I'm like, how? Like, yeah. How are you capable?
Yeah.
So impressive. So good. Yeah. One of the parts that we really, really recognized his vocals was the next part of the concert where he came out. He did another outfit change right after Supertune and Hanbok. Like, he was only in it for that song. Mm-hmm. So during this outfit change, he left a karaoke version of I'll Be There on to play. So I thought that was a really cute, mm-hmm. like, he was really good about getting the audience involved. Mm-hmm. You know, he would say, like, ARMY, can you do this for me? If you can, say, like, challenge accepted, you know, just like run yeah. Jin.
He was religious about that.
Yeah.
Like, saying challenge accepted.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. say it, you know.
Say it right now, yeah.
So there was like a few different songs that could have been the version, and he had like a wheel to spin, and it landed on I'll Be There. So he left us with that, with like the lyrics, and it even had like the romanization of the lyrics you could sing along mm-hmm. If you don't know Korean, and that was cool. And he came back out in like a more plain outfit, like an all black outfit, black jacket, black shirt underneath. Mm-hmm. At this part, he sat down at a piano. And I do have to say, at night two, the piano like messed up a little bit because it was like an electric piano looking like it's a regular piano mm-hmm. and it was in the wrong key. And he started to get like a tiny bit flustered, a mm-hmm. tiny bit worried. Like he's like kind of looking around like, oh, I don't know what to do. And then like one of the other musicians came up from behind him and like fixed it for him.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, thank you. Thank you. You know?
Yeah.
But his professionalism was just immaculate.
Yeah.
Like he was able to like brush that off and go right into the song yeah. and act like it didn't, you know, affect him at all or throw right. him off.
And there are some musicians who would have thrown a fit about yeah. that. There are definitely, with how popular Jin is, mm-hmm. I think if it was anyone else in his shoes, there are musicians who could have gotten a real big head and been like, you're making me look stupid, or been yeah. real ticked off about it. But he was,
and he could have even gone the other way. You know how sometimes he like playfully teases, like gets mad at somebody, you mm-hmm. know, but like not really. Like he could have done that too, but he didn't. He was no. just, you know, yeah.
Yeah, very, very composed, but like told us like after the fact, like, ooh, like
I was a little nervous.
I was a little nervous yeah. there. Yeah. But the guy who came out, one of the like song producers or whoever came out and was like, oh, changed it for him, and he was so grateful for it. He was like very, very kind and yeah. like, thank you.
Yeah. I thought that was a really sweet moment, and like yeah. honestly, he just did such a great job with that.
He did.
And so then he went in and he started to play I Will Come to You from his Happy album. And this is such a beautiful song. I think it's the last one on the album. Mm-hmm. Already on the album, it's a very like stripped down song, but here it was literally just his piano and mm-hmm. just his vocals. No other like backing from the other musicians. He did have a live band, just like we saw with Yoongi's solo concert and J-Hope's solo concerts, which we love the live band. Mm-hmm. You and I very early in the concert said, oh, we love that he has the live band. Like it mm-hmm. really suits his music style in particular, that yes. kind of like rock pop style to yeah. have it. But we were like, when did he learn how to play piano?
Yeah.
And he
probably learned
so well
specifically to do this.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. He did look like he was really focusing on it. And we know like he like was actually playing it. Like they showed it, shots of his fingers on the keyboard. You know, mm-hmm. it's not like it was just a track that he was singing to or anything. So I Will Come to You was beautiful. And then afterwards he did Abyss, mm-hmm. which immediately we were like, oh my God, Abyss, like what a deep cut.
Yeah.
Abyss is his first solo single that he ever released in 2020.
Yeah.
And that's like a very slow, very emotional song, very like vulnerable song from him mm-hmm. too. The first time that we really got that side of him.
Yeah.
And it was perfect right here in the set list coming off of I Will Come to You and like sticking with that, you know, just piano, just voice and just letting his vocals stand out. It was
yeah,
gorgeous.
Yeah. This is a song that was totally unexpected, but I can see how so many ARMYs would be so grateful and begging for this song to be performed
yeah.
and fearful that we would probably never get a live performance of it. And
yeah.
so this is fantastic that he chose this as one of the songs for the set list, because it really is such a beautiful song. And like you've been saying, like it really was just him and the piano. No backtrack, no other like instruments really involved. Like, it was really just him.
Yeah.
And so this was a part of the concert that, like, of course, we've been praising his vocals all this time, but it was just a real intimate moment, just hearing raw vocals, raw piano, all him. And it's this song that it was like released, I want to say it was a SoundCloud release, but it was just like one of the Festa songs or something that
we would have never thought to hear this song live.
Not on an album, not anywhere. You know, you would have to really go hunting for it.
Yeah.
So love that he performed Abyss.
Yeah.
And in this manner.
And in this manner, just to like really let it shine and let his vocals shine. Right after Abyss, he did my favorite song from Echo, Background. This is like what I was waiting for.
Yeah.
Right when it came on, I was like, hell yeah.
He got up from the piano at this point.
Yeah, he got up from the piano.
I just remember him like backing up the piano stool, standing up, and then Background comes on and you were like, oh yes.
Oh yes.
Powerhouse vocalist.
And the,
like, gotta stand for this one.
Yeah, the musicians, you know, his band started to come in a little bit. Background was so beautiful. Oh my God. Like, just continuing to praise his vocals, like, we knew it was going to be good, but I think it blew me away. It was one of my favorite performances of the night, just because of like knowing the meaning of the song, wanting to hear those vocals and that like ballad so bad. And for this one, he had like down the runway towards like the second stage, he had like little stairs to sit on with like candles on the side of them, and he sat down, and he sat down on those stairs to like passionately sing the runs at the end.
Oh, I was like, oh, Jin.
And then there was one part that made us laugh here, which was like, right after he sang like the second run, he looked down and like blew a bug off of his hand.
Yeah.
Like he could ignore like all the sweat dripping off his face, whatever. But like, it was just so funny. It took you out of the moment just like for a second, you know, it just made us crack up. Like, did he just blow a bug off
like
his hand?
In between runs, you know, he's just like,
and then got right back into it. Like,
But I mean, we're watching at home, and so it was like ultra zoomed in on him.
Yeah,
like we see him do this.
No
like,
one else. I mean, I don't know what they were showing. They were probably showing him that close on the screen too.
That's true. Yeah, if you're watching the screen.
Professionalism
the
had to like let up for just one half a second to get that bug, and then we were like, well, he is performing outside. Like, that's the first time we really thought about it. Like, I know later on with Heart on the Window, we saw like Jenny kind of swipe in front of her face to get like bugs away. Wendy. And so we're like, oh man, like it is dusk, you know, like in the summertime. Bugs were out, but that was just funny. Oh God. And then after Background, he did another level. And I think for you and I, this might have been our favorite,
one of our favorites for sure.
I mean, this is really up there because this, the stage for this one was fucking epic. For another level, he was strapped in to a platform that rose like 20 feet in the air at the second stage, just like a circle platform. So it was just him. It looked like he was just floating. You know, if you were sitting in the crowd, it would look like he's just floating in the air. And the like the lights were like fiery. There was a bunch of smoke and fireworks, and it was like purples and reds and oranges and yellows, and just like, I mean, super powerful lighting and everything on the screens behind him, just like visually incredible.
It was epic.
It was epic.
It matches the song, because the song itself, like, I'm just so grateful that he did another level, because that's one of my favorite songs off of Happy.
Me too.
And it is an epic sounding song. And so it just fits so perfectly, this entire backdrop behind him.
Yeah.
But him being at second stage, so he's really at the forefront of all of this, elevated up on another level above us with this like background, you know, just like fiery behind
him. He's delivering this super passionate performance, and like all of the visuals behind him are like reinforcing it. Like, it was like, it was like something of a myth, you know, like it was something that like you could only like make it a movie or something. It was just epic. It was so cool. I remember telling you, like, I just need to see like the still shot, like a photo of like right in front of like him from the crowd with all of these visuals right behind him, because it was just like, I bet it would be so cool like to experience that live in person.
Very neat performance. Definitely one of the best of the night.
I think so, for sure. That's like one of the most memorable for me. Next up, he did Heart on the Window, and he brought out Wendy for this. She came out like right when her part was starting, so it wasn't like he brought her on stage first, so you know, it was kind of a surprise to the fans. I think I didn't go and look, but I think I heard that Yenna, he brought out Yenna for Loser on mm-hmm. night one. So people were probably expecting maybe he'll bring out Wendy. But like mm-hmm. Wendy, like she's busy. She's a huge superstar, oh, yeah. you know.
She's got a radio show. Yeah. Part of Red Velvet. Yeah, she's got a lot going on. Busy schedule.
Right. But she came out and they fucking killed it together. Mm-hmm. Like, man, their vocals together. I remember us commenting on that in Heart in the Window for the Happy album review. It was just like, we loved how they worked together.
Yeah.
That song has some really difficult notes to hit. And like to hear Wendy hit those live, and like, I mean, their passion together, they kind of, you know, fed off each other a little bit, looking at each other. It was a really great performance.
It was a fantastic performance. Her voice is just so well known and is one of the best in Korea. So it's just such an honor for her to have been there, to be a feature on this song. And for me, I just couldn't help but to think about like Red Velvet and BTS kind of debuted around the same time. Like they're mm-hmm. so they're part of the same like K-pop generation.
Yeah.
And so seeing these two like really notable figures in this industry singing together live on stage, it just was really an experience that I don't think I would ever have gotten. So really grateful for it. Great that she got to show up. And honestly, I just like her vocals are so great. But it just even highlighted Jin's vocals even more. I'm like, damn, Jin is up there. And like, I mean, one of the best vocalists in K-pop, I yeah. can say, because he's standing next to one of the best vocalists in K-pop and they sound fantastic together.
Yeah. I mean, completely holding his own.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree so much. Yeah. And Wendy, of course, was so humble and so sweet. She was like, I was really nervous, but mm-hmm. really excited to perform here for ARMY. Like, you know,
yeah.
of course, ARMY was so excited to see her, but I just thought that was really sweet because it yeah. is, I think, massive. I don't yeah. know any other opportunity that like a BTS member and a Red Velvet member could like come together yeah. to perform live on stage yeah. for something like this.
It's a special event, that's for sure. And I just have to make note here too, at the end of the performance when she's like bowing, they're bowing to each other, they're thanking each other, and she goes and walks off, Jin turns around to the crowd and does like a pretty big like sigh of relief. Like
yeah.
I think he was maybe a little nervous to perform with her because she's just such an icon.
Yeah, she is such an icon.
Yeah.
And I think that was like one of the most iconic moments of the whole concert yeah, was to bring Wendy out.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah,
for
it was
sure.
awesome.
Yeah. So after this, we did a little sing-along game with Jin and ARMY. So ARMY ended up seeing a song on the screen and we were supposed to sing it. Jin didn't know what the song was. He was standing or he was sitting with like a, what was over him?
Like
it was
a like silver disc on it, like above him.
Yeah. Very yeah. variety show. Like if he couldn't guess the song right, then it would like hit him in the head.
Yeah.
And so it was just a really fun game for us to be able to play with Jin. And so we would sing the song and well, yeah, we would. Was it humming or singing?
It was singing, but there wasn't any background music. So yeah. they would just put like
acapella.
The lyrics on the screen, a cappella. Jin couldn't see the screen, so he doesn't know what song it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. ARMY did a pretty good job.
ARMY did a really good job.
Yeah.
The first one was Idol, and Jin started hearing it and then sitting in his chair started doing
the
little choreo.
Dance.
It was
uh-huh.
so cute. And
yeah.
then, you know, he guessed it was Idol and he stood up and they played like the real part of Idol
and
he did like
the choreo
at like 50%. You know, he was
yeah.
like, what can I remember how to do this?
Yeah.
yeah, that was cute.
And then we sang The Astronaut and it just was warming my heart because he was like laughing and smiling ear to ear. You could tell
yeah.
that he loved hearing ARMY sing to him and we kind of joked to each other like Jin would be like, no, you sing for me, you know,
at
like,
my
you
concert.
Sing for me at my
yeah.
concert. And then after that, the song was Loser featuring mm-hmm. Yena. And so it was kind of cool to also hear ARMY being like, Loser, Loser, Loser.
Yeah.
yeah. and he got a kick out of that too. And so what he ended up doing is he kind of like intentionally got it wrong.
He knew it was Loser. He said, I know what it is, but I want this disc to hit me because
yeah.
I think he just thought it would be funny.
Okay.
And so he guessed something else.
He guessed something else. But what's so hilarious about this is the disc comes down and hits him on the head and he immediately turns to look over at the stage director like, how could you?
How dare you,
know,
you do this
how dare you? And you know, like that really hurt, but he's totally joking. And you can see the stage director getting like bashful and like doesn't know what to say because
yeah.
Jin is like clearly being silly, but also serious enough that you're mm-hmm. not like too sure, like you might get a little flustered.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of funny. And then
Jin was like,
out.
This is your last day.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
It was a fun part of the concert. And so after this, he ends up going into Loser featuring Yenna. Mm-hmm. Great to hear the song. I felt like we anticipated this song was going to be a part of the set list because it just goes hard. It's such a fantastic song. And hearing his vocals, again, not only the belting, we talk about the belting, but if anything I learned from this concert too is he knows how to do some runs.
Oh, like, yeah.
He can do these vocal runs so well.
Oh, yeah. And I feel like, you know, in BTS ARMY, like, people recognize, like, Jungkook's runs, you know, or something like that. Like, Jungkook is really known for that. But, damn, give Jin the runs, like, mm-hmm. in the songs, because he can really do it.
He really can.
Also, what was great about this performance was he put lyrics on the screen and wanted ARMY to sing Yenna's part.
Yeah.
And so it made it, again, really dynamic and, like, getting ARMY involved in the concert besides just watching and experiencing it. Another thing I want to point out is, like, normally at a BTS concert, they'll say, like, scream, you know, like, silly J-Lo, you know, mm-hmm. like, they'll say, yell it out for me. And he only said that one time, the whole concert. Normally, it was getting ARMY involved in other ways. Like, mm-hmm. he didn't have to say, like, scream for me at all.
Yeah, he didn't. He's like, be louder. He didn't say anything.
He was just
like
challenge accepted and challenge accepted.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or sing this song with me, ARMY. Like, he just, like, would put us on the spot, give us the lyrics, and, like, you know, it was fun. It was like we got a little duet with him.
That is such a great point. He also, too, really knows how to entertain.
Oh, yeah.
Because he really didn't do hardly any choreo or anything like that for this entire concert. We talked about how he was running around on the stage and really engaging the crowd. But, I mean, just for being a vocalist and doing vocal songs mostly without choreo and, like, these more, like, ballady songs, there was not a dull moment. Like,
oh, yeah.
You were fully enthralled by him and, like, very entertained. And I do think that his variety show might be a part of that too. Like, he is just a great entertainer as well.
I agree. And I love that that's why he kept, like, that variety show element to this concert. I think it suits him so well.
It does. Yeah. So after this, the iconic Rope It. He performed. We knew he was going to perform Rope It. For this one, he changed jackets. And it was kind of funny because he's like, hold up, I got to change real quick. And he went over and he took off his, like, black jacket that he had on. And you can hear ARMY, like, you know, in the crowd. Because there's, like, it's silent out there. You just hear the...
There's no music. There's nothing. It's just the screaming.
And all he's doing, I mean, he has a shirt on. But he just goes to put the red jacket on. And he doesn't think anything of it. Like, he doesn't do anything.
I just thought it was, like, it's so funny, like, live outfit change on stage, you know?
Yeah.
Rare.
Mm-hmm, very rare. But there was just a little bit of choreo for Rope It. He also had a nice cowboy hat. We figured he would probably have some kind of cowboy hat, but just a tad little bit of choreo. Like, he did a lot of line dancing kind of, like, stuff where, like, his feet were together and he was doing little, like, short little shuffle hops. Yeah. And then, just a lot of, like, little leg kick, like, movements.
Uh-huh.
He played with his hat, you know, bending down.
Yeah.
Bringing his leg back behind
him. Do, like, a big,
like,
country western bow type of thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had that, like, you know, during the Rope It lyrics, he was, like, actually acting like he was spinning that lasso, just like we all do, you know? Amazing.
We didn't get a shot of the crowd, but we were saying, like, we wish that there was a little bit of a shot of the crowd because ARMY better have been doing that lasso rope with him. I'm sure they were.
Yeah, they had to have been.
Iconic.
So good.
I'm glad he performed it. We knew he would.
Me too. It was amazing. After Rope It, he did take off the cowboy hat, but he left the red jacket on. And then he went into this BTS medley. And I feel like we should have known he was going to do this, but I loved how he did this. Each of the members on their solo tours have done, like, some form of BTS songs or medleys in, like, their own unique way. And for Jin, he really mostly took, like, probably, like, his favorite lines from those songs and performed them. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, it might have, like, a moment of another member, but he really, like, kept, like, his shiny moments from those songs and went in instead of, like, doing the whole song and singing for the other members or whatever. And I love the way that he put that together.
Mm-hmm.
So he did some Dynamite, he did some Butter, and these two songs made us feel so nostalgic, just, like, bringing us back to that era, their first English music. Just, I mean, I always, when I hear those songs, I think about those music videos so much.
Yeah. It's bizarre, though, that it feels nostalgic to think that Dynamite and Butter are now older songs.
Yeah, 5 years old. Because so much,
it's been 5 years.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So much time has lapsed since Dynamite and Butter.
Totally.
Yeah, but it really brought me back.
Yeah. And then he went into Microcosmos, which I think was my favorite part of this medley, because it has truly been since, like, I mean, probably Permission to Dance in LA, since we heard that song live, like, also 5 years ago, but that song's from like 2018.
Yeah.
And that is such a BTS and ARMY song together. Yeah. That's like a song that you want to hear. You want to see the ARMY bombs light up like stars. It like makes us all feel so connected in like this whole universe that we have together. And so I love that he included that song here too.
Yeah. That's like an ARMY time, end of the concert, encore song.
Yeah.
Yeah, like your typical like BTS ARMY song there at the end of the concert to say goodbye.
Yeah, and also like his vocals in that song. I know we're just raving about his vocals, but amazing, immaculate. And then he did Spring Day, and I love that he did this. It made me think about how they had just performed it at J-Hope's concert, and he put it into, you know, his own set list too. And he did some of the Spring Day, and just to hear like him and ARMY again singing the lyrics together. Oh, and he also had like Spring Day music video visuals on the screen, like the carousel and you saw the train, and I was like, oh,
this is when I got a little emotional.
Yeah.
And we said if we were there in concert, we probably would have been crying at this point.
I remember you specifically saying like, if it wasn't 5 a.m. and I was sleep deprived, like I would probably be crying.
Yeah, for
sure.
Well, loved the BTS medley. It was, of course, all of the members have done this with their solo concerts, but it was nice to get this with Jin. And then he performed The Astronaut. He looked stunning and gorgeous during The Astronaut. I don't know what it was. I mean, the whole concert, yes, but something about The Astronaut. And he had a moment during this performance where he kissed us. Like, he didn't do his typical, like, hand kiss, like, blowing a kiss to us. It was just, like, full, plump Jin lips cutely kissing right at the camera.
You, like, lean forward a little bit.
Right towards you. And I just, I mean, we were laying on the floor, and I was, like, taken aback. Like, I was thrown back, like, oh, like, he's thousands of miles away, and, like, I can feel the impact of that kiss.
We were both, like, squealing, you know, like, oh, my God, he just kissed us.
Yeah.
That was so memorable.
He had a moment during The Astronaut, too, where he laid down completely flat on the stage and was still belting these vocals, and it was just, again, so just captivating, and you're like, wow, how are you doing that? You were laying flat and you somehow still have the lung capacity to sing these vocals. And there were fireworks too. Like, it was very much a theatrical kind of ending. You can tell that the concert's ending to like a close here. And then he ended up doing Nothing Without Your Love.
Just a very sweet way end the concert, like his last message here to ARMY, I'm nothing without your love. Of course, he has an encore after that, but when he's saying like, these are the last songs, you know, and it's The Astronaut and Nothing Without Your Love, like it's very meaningful with The Astronaut being like, I mean, like his first solo song in Chapter 2 right before he went into the military, and then Nothing Without Your Love being his most like recent, like not his recent hit track, because that was Don't Say You Love Me, but it was the second song on Echo. And I just love like that kind of ending meaning. And he seemed so happy. I like you said, when he laid down on the stage, I love those aerial shots of him. He looked incredible. And yeah, like to still belt it. So impressive.
So impressive. Yeah. So then we had the little classic time where he goes down beneath the stage, and you can tell he's changing into his outfit, the more casual clothes for the encore. And we have this moment with ARMY where we get to see a lot of their signs and all the ARMYs who are from different areas around the world showing off where they're from. And
we saw some Argentinian ARMY, some Mexican ARMY, some
Russian ARMY.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
People from all over.
Yeah. The army time is always really cool to see. Mm-hmm. And then Jin comes out for the encore. He's wearing all of his tour merch. So cute. I really love the white t-shirt that he was wearing underneath the plaid shirt. It was like, it had a big red heart and it said Worldwide Handsome across the front of it. Like, of course. Merch. Of course, that's a shirt that he has. Yeah. That's incredible. And then, you know, we're going into the encore. And we're like, what else does he have to perform? And I was like, well, he hasn't done Epiphany yet. And I think you said, well, he hasn't done Moon yet.
Yeah.
And so he did Epiphany and then Moon and then To Me Today. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, literally such a perfect way to end this concert. I think these are like some of his most meaningful songs. And I mean, Epiphany is like, I think, my favorite song from Jin, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, so many of them are so great, but like, I have really special meaning connection to that song. Mm-hmm. And so when he performed that song and to hear him perform it live, like for the first time in years, like I think probably the last time I've heard that was when we were in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
The Speak Yourself tour.
Speak Yourself, yeah.
Literally, like, beginning of 2019.
I think so, too. Yeah. And honestly, I think it might be my favorite solo song from, like, BTS's discography for Jin. Epiphany is just so, so special.
Yeah.
And, again, I felt like this could have been one of those songs that, when you were there, you probably, like, would have cried. You know? Yeah. It was just so stunning to hear his vocals live singing this. And he even talked a little bit about like, ARMY, I heard that you really wanted this song.
Yeah.
So like, I'm going
to
do it.
He said this was like the most requested song to hear. And I don't doubt that.
I don't either.
I think if I were there live in person, I definitely would be crying like through that whole song.
Jimin posted on his Instagram a picture of Jin performing Epiphany. And his caption was something of sorts of like one of my favorite songs and stuff. So even Jimin is like a true ARMY Jin
true Epiphany stan,
being like Epiphany is the best.
That's right. Yeah, that's so good.
But Moon was great too after that, because Moon does have a little bit more of an uplifting spirit to it, not quite as emotional as Epiphany, mm-hmm. but still very, very meaningful and such a sweet message that he's telling ARMY. So what a special moment too for him to be like having that ARMY him conversation in Moon and getting to perform that live. We talked about how like we were deprived of Moon because this is when the pandemic hit and he was going to perform this song for ARMY with the intention of it being more fun, and he ended up having to do it virtually for everyone. Like, he never got that like full moment.
I think he's only performed it before these concerts like live like maybe two times,
maybe
like last summer after he got back from the military. I think was like the first time they ever performed it live for ARMY. But yeah, it was just one of those like kind of robbed moments for him. So the fact that he gets to tour with the song now and that it's in the encore is super special.
And
then To Me Today, I mean, when we did the Echo album review and we got into these lyrics, like what he's talking about here, like I could cry just thinking about like how vulnerable but also hopeful he is in these lyrics. I think it is such a perfect way to end the concert.
It is,
know, it's so beautiful.
It sounds like an outro. So it was perfect.
It was amazing.
Incredible concert. He really delivered.
He really did.
I mean, I kind of went in with no real expectation for it, and I was blown away. He's really over like chapter two and solo work and everything with Jin. I just feel like he's just grown on me even more and more. Like, I've fallen deeper and deeper in love with him.
I agree. Between like, you know, the Run Jin episodes, between doing Kian's Bizarre B&B, you know, just kind of like being that one member who's been here for us all of this time before everybody else was back.
Yeah.
You know, like, we always loved him, obviously, but I feel like we have such a reverence for him now.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's always been a confident guy, but I think he's really come into his own with his own music now.
Yeah.
And doing this concert in like a Jin way, like making it, you know, kind of variety show based and having that as a theme that really carried through the whole concert.
It was, yeah,
in a great way.
Very interactive and casual, which is just Jin to a T. Like, yeah, it really reflects who he is as a person.
I agree.
Yeah. Also, real quickly, one last thing that we forgot to mention. There was a moment during the concert, too, I think maybe during the encore, that he turned back to, like, go back to like the original like front stage from the second stage, mm-hmm. and he saw himself on the big screen,
oh,
and he
yeah.
just like stopped in his tracks at himself. Like, oh, I'm so like, I know I'm handsome, but wow.
You
know,
he was like, this is what you guys are seeing on screen. I look so good.
Yeah. Like jaw to the floor, like genuinely looking stunned.
Yeah. Just like, it wasn't even comical. Himself.
Like it looked serious.
Yeah. He like, was he like, really he was... wasn't even joking.
No,
like,
he wasn't.
You just have to love him for that too. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, we loved the concert. Like you said, totally blown away. Really, mm-hmm. it was very hard to go into it really hype with like under 2 hours of sleep, 5 a.m., had been up with friends late the night before, you yeah. know.
Baby crying. yeah. Technology just not cooperating with us. Right. Wi-Fi down. I mean.
Right. Plans changing, rolling with it, you know. Yeah. But truly blown away. Like 5 minutes in the concert, we're like, oh my God, so glad that we made this happen. Mm-hmm. We do have to say that on night one, Taeyong, RM, and Hobi attended.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen pictures of them, oh my God, go nah. look, because they look so good. There was like this
viewer tweet. Discretion though, because Taeyong is in a tank top and he's just
a black tank top, black beanie, black pants, just flexing,
arms crossed, flexing his everything. Yeah.
Hate him.
I know.
But there was like a tweet that was like the extroverts versus the introverts, because it's Taeyong, RM, and Hobi, and they're all just like out, no face mask, like colorful outfits,
fully
you
exposed.
Know. And then on night two, like, first of all, maybe in the multicam or some other cam, you could see the other members. But like, we only watched the main cam because we didn't want to switch back and forth. Mm-hmm. And we got like a tiny glimpse of Yoongi and then like mostly Jimin. Mm-hmm. Did not even know Jungkook was there until after the concert. Uh-huh. But all three of them are wearing like hats or beanies, face masks, like covering their whole face.
Arms covered, legs covered. Yeah. Yeah.
Super cute though. Literally Yoongi and Jimin wearing the same exact outfit.
Identical.
Like,
yeah.
Black beanie, white mask, white shirt, like baggy shorts. The only mm-hmm. difference is like their tennis shoes, like between yeah. black boots of Jimin, classic for him, and then Yoongi was wearing like these big chunky white tennis shoes.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was just so adorable that they completely matched.
They match, literally, yeah. identical.
Yeah. At one point in the concert, I forget when it was, but Jin was like saying like, oh, I'm so grateful my members are here to support me. And that's when we see like Yoongi a little bit and we see Jimin. And he was like, Jimin, you want to come up here? You want to come perform? Maybe some serendipity? And Jimin was just like holding his arms up in an X like, no. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Not at all. And like, we didn't even know cute baby Jungkook was right
Jungkook
there.
Jungkook was there.
He's like, let me up there, I want to perform. I'll perform 3D, you know.
Yeah.
Like, he
probably
would have.
He absolutely yeah. would have.
Yeah.
I just think it's hilarious just seeing Yoongi with these two maknaes who have been serving together this whole time. Like, yeah. They were already close, but they have to be so close now. And Yoongi is just like these kids.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like it was probably a lot of fun.
I would say that he'd be third wheeling if not for him and Jimin literally matching.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they were on the same wavelength.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still love Yoonmin. Yoonmin forever.
Oh, me too. Me yeah. too. I'm here for the Yoonmin.
Phone fallen. Anyways, it was it was great to see that the members came out in like full support. I know mm-hmm. like each of the members ended up posting on their Instagram stories individually about Jin's concert, which was great to get that support too. Mm-hmm. Some of them in day one and some of them at day two was really great before he takes out his tour, you know, worldwide. Worldwide handsome everywhere else.
Yes.
So
I'm excited to see all of the video clips and the pictures from all the concerts that mm-hmm. he has ahead down the road.
Me too.
I feel like the US, he's gonna get even a little bit crazier.
Oh
like,
yeah. And he better get crazier for Rope It.
Oh, I think he will.
I mean, you said Mechanical Bull. I still need to see him on one of those hobby horses. Mm-hmm. We're waiting for the chaps, you know, like I think he's going to get crazier for those US tickets and or tour dates. And I'm really excited to see yeah. all the videos.
Me so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We loved it. We are so excited that we watched it. So happy that we got up at 5 a.m. and have been sleep deprived for 2 days now mm-hmm. from seeing it. Was well worth it.
Yeah. What an episode to just be talking about Jin's concert. It's our concert review and it's our last time recording together for yeah. some time because Kayla's moving to St. Louis this coming Sunday.
I know.
Yeah. So we're going to be
crazy
recording separately for a little bit. So you guys will maybe notice, I don't know, but I'm sure we'll talk about it in the next episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we will be on this kind of next chapter for the podcast. Going back to recording separately.
I know. We used to, so we were used to it then, but it'll be a little bit of a change up for mm-hmm. us now.
I'm not worried about it.
I'm not worried either. It'll be like, I don't know if this is BTS's, it'll be like our chapter three, you know?
It's just another... I don't know.
Transition. I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
So let us know what you think about Jin's concert tour.
Yeah.
What you thought about this episode, and let us know if you notice any like weird changes on our next episode with audio or, you know, whatever else, because we'll probably have some technical things to hammer.
I think
it'll
be fine.
Yeah.
I think we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're very grateful that you all were here and listening. Mm-hmm. Let us know what you thought about the concert. And of course, you can find links for all of the things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for stanning BTS.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do-it-yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.